It is All Things Considered, HBR member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Dave Lawrence, and we're down at the Blue Note. We've got a very special guest joining us. Last time I got a chance to talk with him, he was actually doing our homeless benefit, Helping Hand for the Homeless, in our HBR Atherton Performing Arts Studio. And now he is back through Wednesday at the Blue Note Hawaii, featuring cellist Josh Nakazawa backing him up. It is the one and only Jake Shimabukuro, and a huge aloha and mahalo to you, my brother.
Hey, thank you. It's great to see you. And it's nice to be out, you know, out of the studio and all that. This is different, right? So, but thanks for coming out. Thanks for supporting the show. And like you mentioned, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, that event was so successful. And, you know, we had such a great turnout. And so, thank you, man. That was all you and Hawaii Public Radio, man. You guys put all that together, so.
And you too. I mean, it was a wonderful thing, and it's I feel so much closer to you after having done something like that. It's like it's a real bonding experience.
Yeah, well, it took a while to put together, so it was fantastic. But thanks for being here at the Blue Note, man. It was a nice turnout. We had a lot of you know, all kinds of people coming out tonight, so it was really, really great. You know, it was a lot of fun. You mentioned Josh Nakazawa. He's the full-time cellist with the Hawaii Symphony. And, you know, we've just become really good buddies recently, and he's an amazing, you know, cellist, and it's been so much fun playing with him. So this was our first official show together, and we had a wonderful time.
I bet. Well, it was smoking. It was a great thing to see and watch. And for folks who have not gotten to see it yet, describe the set that's in store for folks. And explain how this collaboration may have required you to rethink some of the arrangements on the music that you're playing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always fun, you know, when you have you know, a melody to work with, and then just thinking of different ways, you know, to express that melody, you know, to you know, because the melody is what it is, you know. I mean, it's a series, a combination of the same notes, right? And you know, but there's just so many ways that you can articulate that melody, phrase that melody, present that melody. You know, you can take a certain pattern of notes, and you can gift wrap it in a way with different colors and all that, you know. And that's what Josh does, you know, when he comes in. And you know, he might change the the root note of what's happening, which changes the whole effect of, you know, what that one melodic note is doing. And you know, and it gives me an opportunity to not just work with other artists, but to work with other arrangers, mm-hmm. you know, and get new ideas. And you know, Brian Shepherd did a lot of the arrangements that we played tonight. He did majority of them, but what is his last Daniel Holblum did the last piece. He did the arrangement of the last piece, pianoforte, you know, for cello and ukulele. So it's always great, you know. Every arranger has their own style. They have their own way of you know, approaching the music, and you know, so it's just always a great learning experience for me, anyway. You know, that's why I love collaborations.
Well, certainly for anyone who's a fan of the Nashville Sessions record, they'll be able to hear those songs interpreted in an entirely different manner than the record, which is a trio format and has Jake sounding really electric and rocking and almost McLaughlin, Mahavishnu-esque at times, certainly that late 70s version. So I was thinking, one thing that we've never talked about in our times together, because I was like, well, this is a collaborative... he's taking a look at the...
Yeah.
So this is a collaborative gig, right? So folks are getting to see not just you solo, but you with this gifted cellist, I might add. But because of that collaborative aspect, I was looking at your resume of some of the cats you've gotten to work with, and I wanted to just see some high points. I'll mention some names to you. You'll tell me what you think of them. He's scanning the paperwork as we speak, getting a little cheat sheet. So because it is a cellist that you've got with you, Yo-Yo Ma, one of many guests or people that you've gotten to collaborate with, explain when you got to do that, and maybe when I say the name, what comes to mind about it, maybe a story or just any part of the experience.
Yeah, well, that was about 6 years ago, and he invited me to do a piece with him on his Yo-Yo Ma and Friends record. And you know, meeting him, I mean, I was so nervous. You know, he's like one of my childhood heroes, but he's just the nicest guy. You know, I remember I brought him a box of of macadamia nut chocolates, you know, from the from Hawaii. And
appropriate.
Yeah. You know, as omiyage, right, as a gift. And I gave it to him. And he took the box. He's like, oh, Jake, I love these. And he opened it up right there. And he popped one in his mouth. He's like, oh, it's so good. And he just kind of went around and offered, you know, like some of the staff, you know, in the
sharing it with
and all that. And yeah, he's just such a, you know, such a joy to be around. And it was such an honor to play with him, for sure. Yeah.
And how did he come across? I mean, you know him already, or?
No, I don't know exactly how I got on his radar, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think someone showed him one of my YouTube videos. Yeah.
God bless YouTube.
And you know, Yo-Yo Ma, he's so open to different styles of music, right. And he's always open to you know, getting different musicians and artists together. You know,
juxtapositions.
Yes, exactly. So I guess, and he said that was the first time he's ever collaborated with a ukulele player.
Well, that's probably the case with many of the folks that you work with. I don't know if it was the case with Jimmy Buffett, but explain how that combination occurred.
Well, you know, Jimmy Buffett was here tonight.
Yeah, he's here in the crowd.
Yeah, he came. He came to the show tonight. He had to leave a little early, but we're actually heading out to Australia in about a week. We're doing the Byron Bay Blues Festival out there, so I'll be with him out there. And yeah, so he came to the show, and yeah, it was great to see him. I almost wanted to say, hey, would you want to come up and sing a tune or something? You
know? That would have been gigantic.
I know. I know. He was relaxing. I think he wanted to stay kind of low key. So I didn't want to bother him tonight. But yeah, I toured with Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefers for about 3 years.
What led to the gig? I mean, how does it start?
The way that they did a show in Hawaii. I mean, this was over 10 years ago. And I guess Mac McAnally, his guitar player, had seen some of my YouTube videos and you know, mentioned my name to Jimmy. So when they came to Hawaii, actually, it's a funny story. When they came to Hawaii, I was doing this interview in a surf shop, you know, in Waikiki. It was like a little radio interview, and so my name was on the schedule, and he was shopping, and he saw my name, and he asked the manager, is Jake Shubukro coming in today, you know? And then so the guy said, yeah, he'll be here in about an hour. So apparently he had to leave, but he wrote a note for me on the back of a Whalers, you know, the Whalers were playing in town. And so he wrote his note on the back of this of their flyer. And he was like, hey, Jake, this is Jimmy Buffett, you know, love your stuff. And I'm doing a show, you know, at the Shell. Would love if you could come down. So I was like, I couldn't believe it. I thought they were playing a joke on me. You know, I had a phone number, so I called the number, and Mike Ramos, who's his right hand man, you know, answered and said, Jake, yeah, we've been waiting for your call. You know, Jimmy wants to invite you to the show, and he wants you to sit in. And I was like, wait, what? What is going on? So, and that's how that started. And I went down, you know, and played with him, and then he. After the show, he was like, you want to go on tour with us? And I said, sure. And I went on tour with them for like 3 years.
Are these gigs coming up in Australia? You're sitting in with them? You're opening for them? What's the format?
Yeah, well, it just we're both playing at the same festival.
Byron Bay Blues Fest.
Yeah, Byron Bay Blues Fest. So he's doing his own set, of course. And then I was going up to do my own set. And we both found out that we were both going to be at the festival. So he invited me to come and sit on his set, you know, the night before. And then I'm also playing, you know, the night after. And he said he would come up and do an acoustic number with me on my set. So... yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Man, if we could only roped him in here at the Blue Note. And he was out there and he left during the show?
Yeah, yeah. He left during the show.
I didn't see him leave, but I believe you.
Yeah, I think he stayed for maybe like the first four or five songs. And then, yeah, and then, yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Bette Midler, when was that? How did that road get across?
Yeah, with Bette Midler, it was actually through Jimmy Buffett. You know, Jimmy and Bette are good friends, of course. And when I was touring with Jimmy, I remember one day we were in Vegas. We were doing a show at the MGM, and during soundcheck, you know, Jimmy, when he showed up to soundcheck, he looked at me and he said, I just had lunch with my friend Bette Midler. And I just I told her all about you, you know, and she said she wants to do something with you. And I said, what? I said, no way. And he's like, yeah, you know, so don't be surprised if you get a call, you know, from her. And I was like, really? And yeah, and then like maybe 6 months or 8 months later, I got a call from her manager saying that she was going to do a show in England, and she wanted to bring me along and do like just do a couple of duets.
That wasn't the one for the Queen.
That was the one for the Queen. So that was our first show together. So she flew me out to LA, and we had a rehearsal out there. You know, we played, and then we flew up to England, and we did that show, and then.
What venue was that?
It was in Blackpool. It was the Blackpool Opera House, and it was cool. The coolest thing after the show, we got to meet, you know, the Queen. I got to shake her hand and have a few words with her, and it was just really amazing. And then after that, you know, Bette was finishing up. I think another 6 months later, she was finishing up her big show, you know, in Vegas, and her residency. And so for her very last show, she invited me to come out and close the show with her.
Which is your favorite, playing there in Vegas to end her residency or playing for QE2 in England?
Yeah, well, you know, playing.
I guess the answer is pretty clear. Yeah, well, any particular memories of interacting with Queen Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I just remember when the producer of the show, you know, we were all lined up backstage, right, to meet the Queen. And he said, you know, before she arrives, I just want to go over some of the rules. And he said, you know, well, you know, we weren't allowed to take pictures and all that stuff, of course. But, you know, but he said that just remember three things. You're not allowed to shake her hand first. You have to wait until she extends her hand to you. The second thing was you're not allowed to speak first. You have to let her speak. Right. And then you can, if she asks you a question, then you can speak, but you can't speak before her. And then the third thing he said was, because it was just a very casual meeting, he said, you don't have to bow or curtsy or anything like that. So don't worry about that. So I thought, okay, good. But, you know, I guess it's the Japanese in me, because as soon as she walked into the room, I told her, I was the only one. Like, I mean, I look like a chicken. I was bowing my head, you know, like so quickly. I just couldn't stop bowing, you know, but it was it was such a great, great experience, and one that I'll never forget.
That's gigantic. That's a good story right there. Cyndi Lauper.
Oh yeah. So Cyndi, gosh, the way that came about was, it was our record labels that had put us together, because we're both signed to Sony Music, and back then, and I was working on a Beatles record. You know, it was just all Beatles tunes, and they were looking, you know, for me to collaborate with a singer, and they asked me, oh, so, you know, who are some of your favorite singers? And I had a short list of some of my favorite singers, and Cyndi, of course, was one of them, as well as Bette Midler, you know, and so they're like, oh yeah, that'd be great. So Cyndi was on the same label as me, so. So they reached out to her, and they're like, you know, we got this guy, Jake Shinwukuro, is working on a Beatles record, and we'd love for you guys to collaborate together. So, you know, so that's how that kind of came about. And I flew up to New York, met with her up there, and we recorded Across the Universe together.
In New York?
Yep, in New York. And it was just solo ukulele and her voice, and it was just amazing. I've been a huge fan, of course. And then after that led to a couple of, you know, collaborative concerts and things like that.
With her?
Yeah. And she was, in fact, I'll never forget, you know, when she came out and did her show in Hawaii. This was, gosh, I can't remember how many, 6, 7, 8 years ago. But yeah, she invited me to come out with her, and we did Time After Time, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And it was pretty wild.
That's great stuff. That's cool. And you get to play on all her classics. Ziggy Marley?
Oh, yeah. Ziggy Marley. The way that I met him was, now I'm trying to remember. So the first time I met Ziggy was, this was, again, about 7 or 8 years ago. He had contacted me because he was working on his Love Is My Religion right. record, and he had this one song that he wrote, and it was about, you know, it was inspired by being on a beach in Hawaii, right? So he's like, oh man, you know, so he contacted my booking agent, and then through my booking agent they got in touch with me, and then they told me, hey, Ziggy's working on a new record, and he's got this song that was inspired by the islands, and he wants you to play on it, you know, to play some ukulele on it. So I was like, oh, are you serious?
No brainer.
Like the Ziggy Marley? So, so I said, yes, I'll do it, you know, anytime. And a couple weeks later, Ziggy flew me out to to LA and invited me to his home studio where he wanted me to track the thing. And I just remember, man, I was so nervous. I was like, what am I gonna do, you know?
Plus, for a drug-free dude to be hanging with the king of ganja, the king of ganja's son, right?
No, it was a total, you know, total clean recording.
I believe it.
And I'm just saying
it was incongruous to some.
Yeah, yeah. But it was awesome because I remember I went in there and he said, you know, he just said, I'll play the track for you. You know, he played the track for me and I listened to it. I was like, oh, okay. So
at his house.
You know, yeah. And I'm like, oh, so what are you hearing? You know, you want me to play some rhythm stuff here? And he was like, yeah, you know, just do your thing. Just do your thing. And he's like, yeah, just in what section I want you to, you know, play, you know, just play a solo and then just some fills and just do your thing. And so I was like, oh, okay. And I was so nervous. But then he said, yeah, so you record. I'm going to leave the room and, you know, I'll come back. So I was like, okay, good. Because I did not want him to be in the studio while I was recording.
He's such an easygoing dude.
I would have been too nervous to play. So he left. And then, you know, and I laid a few things down. And then he came back about, you know, an hour later. And he sat down and he listened. And he listened to it. And he's like, yeah, that's good, man. But I want you to play more, you know, play more. So he left again. And then I just did another pass, you know, because the hard part was his vocals weren't laid down yet. So I didn't know. I didn't
what the song was really good.
I didn't want to step over the vocals or anything like that. And so a funny story, you know, the vocals weren't laid down yet. Right. So I play, you know, I play my thing and then I end up, you know, I do a second take, you know, a lot busier and all that. And he comes back, he listens to it, he's like, yeah, that's great. You know, that's great. So he goes, yeah, I'll lay the other stuff over and then I'll send it to you. So I left his house and I flew back home. And then I remember when he sent me the track, you know, he sent me the track. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to hear it. And I'm listening to it. And the words, you know, because it's all about, you know, smoking
herbs,
marijuana, right? You know, in Hawaii. And I just remember like just thinking, just cringing and just like, you know, because here I am, right? I was working with the DARE program and I'm all about, and it, you know, I'm always very expressive about being drug free. I've been drug free my whole life. And, you know, I'm always talking with kids about being drug free. And here I am playing on a song that's about, you know, smoking marijuana and all that. So, yeah, so I just remember just cringing and like, oh no, you know, but it's, you know, it's cool. I mean, it's, I think, you know, that was a great lesson for me, you know, to make sure that I get a copy of the lyrics before I play on any track. But, you know, but it was all cool. And you know, and I think that, you know, like people understand and, you know, and I always make sure that
that's a great story. Make it, Yukari, in the future, get the lyrics from that.
Because I had no idea what the song was about. All he said was it was inspired, you know, by you know, being in Hawaii.
He's a sweet guy, though, huh? He's just so down to earth.
Super down to earth.
Really nice,
you know, really mellow, really great. I got to perform with him a few times.
Yeah, I've seen you with him.
His concerts and
you did
and
Jake's
and,
thing.
And yeah, and Jack Johnson's Kokua Jack. Fest. Yeah, and actually we had played that song that we recorded at Jack's concert.
Well, it fits in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was great.
Yeah, he's a wonderful kid. He's been in that same studio where you were last with me in the Atherton. We had Ziggy in there. Yeah, went through his whole history. It was incredible. It was almost an hour, and he told it was one of the greatest interviews of my entire career because he just explained his whole memories of Bob and the Rastafarian culture and how his mom got into it through Bob, and it was that's a story for another time. But in any event, it's Jake Shimabukuro. He's at the Blue Note through Wednesday, and at the Blue Note through tonight. Very exciting. I'm grateful we got to spend a little time together. Just saw your manager stick her head in the door, so I know we got to let you go in a second. What's next? Anything exciting?
Just heading out to Australia. We got that. You know, we'll be got I think like 7 or 8 shows out there, and then after that, yeah, we'll be hitting some shows in the States, and then July we head back to Japan. I'm doing the Fuji Rock Festival.
I love it.
Yeah. So
any big bands on the bill?
Yeah, there's I didn't look at the full lineup yet, but yeah, but there's always, you know,
always some huge bands on there.
Yeah, there's always some great bands. I'm really excited. They actually put me on the main stage this year.
It's going to be gigantic. Great view there. When you come back, we'll have you in the after, Tim. We'll do something before the year's out. We got to keep up our year. We've been doing things in our studio at the station for 5 years straight now, I think it is.
Yeah, no, and I always look forward to it. Oh, and I have a new album coming out probably in September.
Well, that's what we'll do it. We'll do it based around that. Is there a title?
Not yet. But it's going to be a mix of originals and covers. And so I pretty much laid down all the ukulele and rhythm sections.
This is the one with the Black Sabbath covers that you've been meaning to get to? Little Iron Maiden.
I did cover a Jimi Hendrix tune on
did you?
One. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, don't say which one it is. That'll be exciting. I'll be looking forward to it. It's Jake Shimabukuro and Blue Note Run happening now. Always a pleasure to have you on ATC with me. And you're just a solid guy. You're a give back kind of guy. I'm wishing you a lot of luck. Have fun with Jimmy. Maybe you get him to be our guest next time he's through the island. It's great to see you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Aloha.